So, as has been said, it's Luke chapter 12 on page 146 of the Church Bible. And we're beginning at verse 34 and taking it through to the end, to the verse 8 in chapter 13. So, interpreting the times. And these readings are very relevant to today's standards too. He said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain. And it does. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot. And it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled on the way, or your adversary may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny." Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will perish." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down."
Well, the message is this. It is time to repent. It is time to repent. When? Not tomorrow, not next year, but now, at this present time. Jesus uses that phrase, at this present time, there in verse 56. And what he means by that is now. Jesus has come to the world to save us. But we can't be saved unless we repent. You might be asking, what does it mean to repent? Well, imagine you're driving a car, if you're old enough and you've got a license. You're driving a car in a certain direction, and then you realise, I'm going the wrong way. I need to go that way. So what do? You turn the car around 180 degrees, and you go in the right direction, the opposite direction to what you were going. So to repent... it just means to change your mind. It means to recognize that you're lost, that you've sinned. And it means to turn around to Jesus and to put all your trust in him. Why do we need to do this? Why do we need Jesus so much? Well, think about that fig tree in the story. It wasn't bearing any fruit, was it? It wasn't doing what it was made to do. It was made to produce figs, and it wasn't doing it. And when things don't do what they were intended to do, what do we do with them? What do we tend to do with them? We tend to throw them out, don't we? Now, like with figs, people, or fig trees, people were made to do something. People were made in God's image so that they could relate to God, so that they could love God and live with God forever. But that image got distorted, didn't it, when people rejected God and sinned. And they started living in a way that they were not created for. And they've constantly been saying, no, 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 to God, who was the one who made them and loved them. And they were not producing the fruit that was pleasing to God by loving him with all their hearts. Now, God would have been right to throw his people out, to throw them out of his presence forever because of this. But God is a bit like that gardener, but much better, in the story, who wants to try and save that fig tree. God wants to save us. And that is why he has sent Jesus to die on the cross, to take away our sins, so that we can be made right with God, that we can be forgiven, and so that we can know God and love God and live with God forever. That is what we were made for. And that is what Jesus has come to restore and to achieve when he came to the world. That's great, great news, isn't it? I would just like to finish, really, by asking a question. And the question is this. What have you learned from today's Bible passage? I'm not asking what have you learned generally. I'm asking what have you learned personally? What has God taught you this morning in his word? Perhaps you've not yet put your trust in Jesus and repented. If that is you, I do want to encourage you that Jesus' words in this passage are not a threat, they are actually a loving warning. Because if you stay on the path that you are on without having all your sins forgiven, then it's not going to end well, is it? Think about Mr. Jack Russell. Because he had debts unresolved, he went to jail, didn't he? But it could have been so much different had he resolved them when he could. And likewise, Jesus has come to resolve all your debt of sin before God. He is willing to pay them all so that you may go free. And in fact, he has done that. But it counts for nothing if you don't receive him by faith. And turning to Jesus in faith isn't like submitting to Pontius Pilate, who was so unpredictable and so lacking in mercy. Jesus isn't like that, is he? Our passage today teaches us actually that Jesus is very, very merciful. He's very good. And he is a king who was willingly cut down so that you could live. So the time is now to repent. What are you waiting for? Why not turn to Jesus? What is it that's stopping you? Perhaps you are a Christian already. Perhaps you have responded to God's mercy and you've repented and you've put your trust in Jesus some time ago. Is there anything in this passage for you? Well, absolutely, yes, there is. This isn't just a passage for unbelievers. Jesus is speaking here to a crowd, and in that crowd are his disciples. So what have we got to learn? Well, we need to remember God's mercy, don't we? It's very easy to forget it and to move away from it, thinking that we deserve forgiveness because we're good or because we're better than others. Jesus reminds us here that we're not better than the Galileans who were struck down, and we're not better than those 18 who were crushed by that tower. We're all sinners, aren't we? We're all deserving of eternal separation from God. So it's good to remember and to be thankful that our salvation is nothing to do with our efforts. Instead, it is all to do with God's mercy shown to us in Jesus, in who he is and what he has done for us. And this ought to keep us humble and to help us keep trusting in Jesus and to live lives of daily repentance. And I think that we need to pray, don't we, that as followers of Jesus, we would take that warning in verse 56 of hypocrisy to heart. Here Jesus is saying that people can interpret the weather, which is so unpredictable, isn't it? But they struggle to interpret who Jesus is and why he has come. Now we need to be praying, don't we, that we will understand and know Jesus well. Not just in our heads, but also in our hearts and in the way we live our lives. And that can often be quite a struggle, can't it? I know sometimes I struggle with disconnect between what I know about Jesus and how I live that out. I know I struggle with disconnect between these two things. I know Jesus is Lord, yet my heart doesn't always yield to him straight away. I know he is my Savior, but I do like to trust myself and the things that I'm doing. And I know Jesus is coming back to judge the world, and it could be very soon. Yet I struggle to go out and tell people urgently about this. Do you feel the same as me with these same struggles? Well, if you do, then it's good, isn't it, that we are casting our eyes constantly on Jesus and his mercy. And may his mercy constantly move us to repentance so that we can trust Jesus and that we can follow him with everything that we have.